Mercy unto you. I am perplexed of the circumstance about us. Surely you are, probably for the wrong reason, but we should be perplexed. There are some things going on that we won't understand till we get to the other shore. And we're being fed lies from every brand known to mankind. It is not, I say this extremely convinced that it's not the war, the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39. And the reason I say that is because the enemies are different. Those of the battles of Armageddon in chapters 38 and 39 of your Bible and the book of the Revelation, those wars are wars with Russia, Iran, even Egypt is involved. And if you look at the enemies here, it is not those enemies. Now let me say a word or five before I get into this. We wonder why Russia would ever be a part of a coalition to come against Israel. If you check history, you'll find that Russia, except for the fact that they expelled the Jews during the war, have never shown any animosity against the Jews, much like the good old United States of America, until now. Now, what's the difference? The difference is that Russia is over 50% Muslim. The Russian army is over 50% Muslim. That tell you anything? And we know Iran. Everybody there and their grandma and their little green turtles are Islam. Those nations in 38 and 39, and even in the book of the Revelation, that are a part of the two wars yet to come against Israel, those nations are all Muslim nations, every last one of them. Now, how does that happen? I want you to look at what you've seen on the news just in the past week. Look at the numbers of people who are coming from our higher schools of ignorance and walking the streets and protesting against Israel. Now, what prompts that? The spirit of Islam. It is a demon spirit. And all of our people in Congress, all of our people in the higher schools of ignorance, all of those people that are there instructing and carrying out our laws are demons, grade A, number one. If they are of the Islam faith, they are demonic. Now, I am well past the prime of my life. And some of the things I'll say tonight will probably put me under the gun again, as I have been in days gone by. But I was not fearful then, and I shall not be fearful now. The truth will live long after I'm gone. I want you to open your Bible for just a moment to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Now, I'm going to tell you what's involved here and only read a verse or two. Jehoshaphat has come before the Lord. The armies of Moab and Ammon are coming against them. The numbers are astronomical. And Israel cannot produce an army capable of standing against them. And here are the words of the king in verse number 12 and following. O our God, hallelujah, wilt thou not judge them? Now, who are the them? That's the enemy, right? Wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Now underscore this in your head. But our eyes are focused in the right direction. Our eyes are upon thee. What a great testimony. I would tonight that Israel's leadership would stand publicly and just make this statement. And you know what happened? God said, let me tell you what you do. Get you some singers and put them out there to sing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And that's exactly what he did. Amen. So the singers go down through the valley before the army, and they begin to sing. But as they come down through the valley singing, their song is reverberating against the rocks on both sides of the valley in which the enemy are encamped. And that song now begins to reverberate. You've heard the echoes. You know what I'm talking about. And as the echoes echoed through that valley, the enemy heard millions of people. Where'd all these people come from? How are we going to do this now? And then they get so discombobulated that they begin to slay each other. And before the battle's over, not one Hebrew sword has been drawn or has drawn blood. And every single one of the enemy is gone. Hey, when they go to collect all the goodies, they can't carry it the first time through. They have to go back and get it again. Hey, that's God. That's God. I've been telling my wife all week long, I'm looking for God to work a miracle. I mean that. I'm looking for God to work a miracle. And the reason I'm looking for God to work a miracle is that this is the war that is going to bring Israel back together, because they see that this war is not won by their power, but by the power of the God of heaven. Amen. Now let's pick up some stuff here in the scriptures and show where this all is going to wind up and how it's going to end. Psalm chapter number 83. This psalm is the description of this war. You say, how in the world can a psalm be the description of a war? Because the psalms are prophecy too. So here in Psalm chapter 83, the psalmist cries, keep not silent, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. Now listen carefully to the text. For lo, thine enemies, did you hear the words? Lo, thine enemies. I'm going to say this out loud so you'll understand it. The armies against Israel are the enemies of God. I'll explain that further later on. Thine enemies make a tumult. Watch this now. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They've taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They've said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Are you reading with me? What is the purpose of Islam? It's not to do all these things that you're hearing about. The major purpose of Islam is to eradicate Israel. Now let me tell you why that's so. They hate God. And anything that would represent God. But this thing goes back a long way. We'll get to it in a moment, if you can stay with me. Verse number 5. They've consulted together with one consent. They're confederate against us. The tabernacle of Edom, the offsprings of Esau. And the Ishmaelites, the offsprings of Ishmael. Right here, I need to tell you something. The Arab world, all of the populace thereof, for the most part, and I'm talking about most being way in the 90s, are offsprings of Esau and Ishmael. Now, God didn't choose Ishmael, did he? God didn't choose Esau. As a matter of fact, God states purposefully and plainly in at least 3 books of our Bible, the book of Genesis, the book of Malachi, and the book of Romans, and hints at it in the book of Hebrews, that God hates Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? So Esau is left out, canceled, modern language, as far as spiritual things are concerned. But he's not canceled out as far as physical things are concerned. And so the one that God hates becomes a hater of God in a big way. And his offsprings and the offsprings of others that sprang from Abraham. You see, the promise is not but to Jacob. And through the seed of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Jacob, come the promised seed. So that leaves all these others out. Now look up here at me. Some of you are going to have problems with what I'm about to say. But it's Bible, and you can't refute the Bible. God chose this nation and refused, if you will, refused the others. God left those nations that he did not choose in silence. And they never knew the true God. He only revealed himself to the nation that he chose. And I understand that that causes a lot of problems from time to time, but it's still so. And the truth has always caused a multitude of problems. Deuteronomy chapter number 7, "For thou art an holy people." Now, God is speaking to Israel. "Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Now, is that Bible or is that Bible? Israel is God's chosen people. Over and over, this kind of language is used to Israel. Now, they're rebellious people. They're easily led into idolatry. Easily they come to the point in their lives to where rather than serving God, they serve things they can look at and things they have made with their own hand. And God judges them. And they cry out to God and God brings them back home rejoicing. Hallelujah. Now Israel is not in the land in peace. The war that is yet to come finds them dwelling in the land in peace. They have not been in peace since Israel was reestablished. Preacher called me the other day and he said, "Brother Lai, what's going on with this war?" He said, "I'm beginning to wonder. I'm beginning to wonder if I'm still pre-tribulation or not." I said, "Just back up a minute. Are you thinking that this is the battle of Armageddon?" "Well, yeah, what else could it be?" I said, "Well, it's not the battle of Armageddon. It's not time for that yet. It's coming. This could well set the stage, and it could come following immediately, this war, because I promise you that the hatred against God is being uncovered everywhere, both in nations across the sea and in the good old USA. Let me remind you of this. Those people that are walking the streets in our cities, and those people that are sitting in our churches that would like to be walking with them, all of them are children of hell. It wouldn't surprise me, as I told Ginger the other day, it wouldn't surprise me if God didn't make a new thing and open up the earth and swallow these critters right into hell. How many of you would have thought there's that many Muslims in America? Some of us are still around. I've preached for at least 25 years that the Catholic Church is not the church that's mentioned in the book of the Revelation, but it's the Muslim religion. And when I first said that in meetings, people had come to me and they said, "You've got to be wrong. You've got to be wrong." Well, I wasn't wrong. And you're going to find out. You that are still on the ladder doubting whether or not it's going to hold you up, you're going to find out that that's so. That end time religion is the Muslim religion, not the Catholic religion. The Muslim religion started about 600 A.D. and it was kind of kept among the Arabs for a number of years. Only in the past few hundred years has it become prominent around the world. Now, can I tell you this and listen carefully? Surely we know that as the end time approaches, Satan is deceiving more and more people. And the hatred of God is paramount in this world. Most churches, I'm talking about groups of people that come together and call themselves churches, are not worshipers of the God of the Bible. Now don't let that surprise you. All you've got to do is visit a few. They're not worshipers of the God of the Bible. They're worshipers of themselves and a false God. And the same demon that propels the Islam religion is propelling that kind of hatred for God in the church. And that hatred for God is demonstrated in our hatred for each other. I mean, if you don't smile the way I do, then I don't like you. If your hair is not parted as wide as mine, I don't like you. It's the same spirit. Listen to me. It's the same spirit. This spirit that despises the God of the Bible despises those who are the children of God. Now, let me go back to this again. Remember that the Islam design in life is to destroy Israel. Now, why have they put their swords toward Israel? Because they can't kill God. So they're going to kill anything that ever represented God. And they do not want the Jews around because the Jews represent the God of the Bible. Now, that Jew may not believe the way you and I do, but one of these days he will, and all Israel shall be saved. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if during this war or immediately thereafter, those Jews are going to look up and say, "Hallelujah, we didn't do this. God did it, and we believe." Now, it may not happen, but it sure is possible. Every student of prophecy learns one thing if he doesn't learn anything else, and that is that you may have to change your mind every once in a while. That's true. Because things develop otherwise. How many of us, really, how many of us, and you still may not believe what I said, but how many of you ever, at least one time in your life, thought that the Catholic Church is that end-time church? Rest of you lying. Because most of us did. But look at what's happening. What is the major religion in the world today?
Islam.
Billions, not millions. And our higher schools of ignorance are turning them out. It should be so that those schools would come under such government control that the government would close their doors and tell those professors to find an honest job catching fish in Africa. Good paying job, I understand. It should be that those in our Congress should be expelled, not next week, but now. But since Barney's running the show, that probably will not happen. From the river to the sea. What they're saying is, drive the Jews into the sea. The land belongs to us. Now the problem with that is, it is a bald-faced lie. They are not the recipients of the land grant. Again, it is the seed of Jacob. Not the seed of Esau and Ishmael and all those other half-breeds, but those whom God has set it out for. Now, the promise of God is sure. Sometimes it looks like it's never going to happen, doesn't it? But it's going to happen. And it's going to happen according to the Word of God, not according to you and me and what others might think. Come back with me, please, to chapter 83. We're dealing with the enemies of Israel in this war. China is not there. All of these are Arabs. And all of them would then be, in our day and time, Islamist. Now, we can't fix it. I wish we could. We can't fix it. America's bombs and munitions can't fix it. And by the way, Barney says that we can fight the battle with Ukraine and Israel at the same time. But Barney can't see but one direction. We better get both eyes on China. Now, I do not know where America is in prophecy. I've never been able to find it. The only hint I see in prophecy for America is when the scripture speaks of the young lions, speaks of England. Of course, it's not called England. It's, I forget what the term is used for. And her young lions. But the term that's used, and forgive me for forgetting it, but the term that's used is the name for England. And the young lions, of course, would be those that have sprang from England. In this war, there is much to be said, both pro and con. The Islams are saying, oh, this shouldn't happen. Now, I don't know if you know what happened. Surely to goodness you know enough of the news to know that there was a rape of Israel by the soldiers of Islam. And the world now has turned against Israel and said it's all Israel's fault. Well, there were some that said it start off with. But those Islamists sent one of their stovepipe bombs into the air. And it ran out of fuel, and its payload fell in a parking lot at a hospital. And the lies began in an instant that Israel had fired a rocket against a hospital in Gaza and killed over 500 people. Come to find out, the truth is it's only right at 200 people that died, and they died in the parking lot where the thing went off. Not in the hospital. And the thing didn't even hit the hospital. It hit in the parking lot. Now that's one reason I know Israel didn't do it. Because they'd have that thing targeted on somebody's teeth in the bed in the second floor, room 241. And they'd said, swallow that big guy. So you see, you got to wake up and just think once in a while. So what are we going to do, and what is in front of us? If nothing else, and I believe God's going to work this thing out. I believe God is going to work a miracle for Israel. But what are we going to do as God's people? What are we going to do? More so, I think we need to be praying for us. For God to send revival in our hearts. For God to let us see Him like we've never seen Him before. Because in the light of the rejection of truth and the unfolding of this panoramic view of the end time, painted by the brush of a holy God from the beginning, and the unfolding of this panoramic view of the end time, we must turn to God. Revival is our only hope. Hey, I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to heaven halfway. I don't want to go to heaven lukewarm. I want to go to heaven boiling, loving the Lord, believing His promise, shouting His praise. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. We need to fall in love with Jesus again. Are you listening? Fall in love with Jesus again. Some of the sweetest times in a marriage is when something takes place and it causes mom and dad to fall in love again. That affection that was so fresh when we were courting, that desire to see and to hold each other, to look in each other's eyes and just say, I love you. But the book of Revelation says we've left our first love. And that doesn't mean you've left the person. That means that you've left the love that you had for them. Oh, that God would refresh the love of this church. First of all, for the God of glory and for each other.